You got a clock right down here. What's the clock down there for? I remember in 1930 when I was preaching at the Poto Church of Christ. Some of you guys were there. There was a clock back there. No, there was a clock right back up here behind me. I guess that's for your benefit, because I couldn't see it. And then I pull a screen down over that clock, and I got in trouble. Got in trouble because I covered the clock. That's the only time I've ever been in trouble. I know you believe that. Grab a hand. Grab a hand. Let's talk to God. Father, we're blessed to get to worship and praise you. Sometimes we forget about the freedom that we have in Christ. How we've been rescued by the blood of the Lamb. How we've been chosen specifically in your plan. That you have a special assignment for us. What a blessing. And God, sometimes we forget that special assignment. But God, we need to be reminded every day. Every day to honor you. On this special occasion that we get to begin this week has been set aside to worship and praise and honor you. Thank you for this family, and help us to always glorify you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Every Wednesday I go to an elementary school. And so on this occasion, my bride and I were sitting at Cracker Barrel getting ready to eat some groceries. And there was a waitress, hostess would walk by, like I'm sitting right there, my wife and I, and then she'd walk by and she'd do this, and she'd walk back by serving all those people back there. Finally, she stopped and did this. She said, "I know you from somewhere." So I asked her, I said, "You been in jail?" No, I haven't been in jail. Because I used to go to the jailhouse. So why not ask that question? It'll break the ice. And she kept on talking. I said, "Where'd you go to school?" Figured out where she went to school. She said, "That's where I know you from." Because on that occasion, we'd go every Wednesday, and it was an elementary school. K through sixth grade. And every Wednesday we'd show up Wednesday morning, give them some healthy donuts just like you guys do. Get a healthy donut. And that lady told me, she said, "I looked forward to every Wednesday when you guys showed up. Because you always shared the Word of God. You always encouraged. You always hugged us. You always touched us. You always gave kindness, but you gave the message of the Word of God." And I could make it in my life the rest of the week. How huge is that? That's what you're involved with because you support me, you give, you call, you pray that I can show up somewhere. And I never know where I'm going to show up. His name is Shenandoah. That isn't his name. And he'd been looking for me a long time. He's about 6'5". He's got a tan. He's uglier than I am. But he's looking for me, but he always shows up at our building, and I'm never there. But he finally finds me because I go to this apartment complex, and he hollers at me. He said, "I've been looking for you." And he told me his predicament. He said, "I need to do 60 hours of community service." What does that have to do with me, big boy? "I need to do community service. And somebody, one of my neighbors, told me to hunt you up that you'd take care of that for me." "Well, I'm not going to take care of it." "You want to do community service? You show up. We'll make an assignment and we'll put you to work." And I told him, I said, "I want to tell you something, Hoss. You show up for Bible study. You show up for assembly. I'll give you 2 hours towards that community service. You just sit there. He did it a few times. He didn't think I was truthful. Every week he'd show up. I'd give him work to do. And then one week he'd say, "Hey, Ron, I need to go pay a fine." He paid $5,000 or $6,000. You know, can you imagine paying that kind of money? I'm encouraging another friend to get his driver's license. He's 55 years old. He said, "Ron, I can't afford it." I said, "Why not? I've got $10,000 worth of indebtedness that I can't pay to clear that up so I can get my driver's license." I said, "What are you doing about it?" I said, "When are you going to become legal?" I said, "You've got this hanging over your head, and it's going to keep hanging over your head until you become right with God." None of you have ever had to deal with that, have you? This is called a cardboard testimony. Feeling alone, worthless. The word that she wrote on here, and her dad made her change it. Feeling suicidal. Suicidal and worthless. And she wanted a change of heart. And so a buddy of hers said, "Hey, come and go to church with me over at this place called Contact. Come across the river. Help me in my Bible class." "Oh, I don't know. I'll think about it." She finally agreed to come with her. And then as they're going home, she said, her buddy said, "You going to go back with me next week?" "I don't know. I'll think about it." So she came back a second week. And during the cardboard testimony, she wrote this. Then on the other side of the cardboard testimony, you write what God has done for you. 15 years old, called in the ministry at the Contact Church Christ. When a young lady felt suicidal, sorry about that. The young man teaching the book of Colossians, that's how they felt. They didn't feel like they could make it. And Paul kept on saying, "You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You've been forgiven. I've been waiting for somebody to bring me some." I knew somebody would show up. "Thank you. Do these work?" "I figured, why didn't you peel it for me?" "I'll let you peel it next time. If I sneeze, I'll cure all of you." Worthless, hopeless, but because of the blood of the Lamb. Now we're at 1 Thessalonians chapter, I didn't finish, Shenandoah. I'm taking Shenandoah all over the building because I've got him working at everything. I got a shovel, I've got a hoe, I've got a rake, I've got post hole diggers, got a weed eater, I got a lawnmower, and I put him on it. So I'm upstairs, I passed by our baptistry, and he said, "What's that?" And this is what he told me. He said, "You'll put me in that water one of these days." Haven't made it yet. But every time that I read the word with this guy, he says, "Don't ever give up on me." I don't like people telling me that. You know why? Because my DNA, my top five DNA, one of those says being responsible. I don't like that at times. Because I'm going to be responsible. I'm going to show up for Shenandoah. I'm going to read when I can find him. I'm going to read the word. I've never changed anybody. God has. And my job is to show up and read and pray and love and encourage. I'm looking at a family that can do that and doing that. 1 Thessalonians. I'm sorry. You remember the clown by the name of Zacchaeus? What's the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Jesus didn't see that he was a wee little man. He saw that he needed spiritual what? I need to look at people like that. Need to look at, they need some spiritual guidance, some help. I'm not judging. I'm not focusing on that. But I'm going to do what I can. I wasn't planning on drinking that juice all morning. But here we are. This is what I love about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus woke up every morning greedy, hateful, a ruler, a king, a very unkind man, cruel. But when he met Jesus, he went to bed a giver. You hear that? He woke up greedy, but he went to bed a giver. Why? Because he found out, hey, I'm going to pay four times what I owe people. I've cheated them. I want to go to bed as a giver. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul together with Silas. Timothy, send greetings to the church at Thessalonica. Christians assembled by God, the Father, by the Master Jesus Christ. God's amazing grace be with you. God's robust peace. Notice the next line. What does it say at the top of that? What does it say? Convictions. Convictions of steel. I baptized a clown in the Christ. And he said, Babbitt, I want to be a man of steel. Right here it is. Being a man of steel, a woman of steel. Every time we think of you. Every time I think of Poto Church of Christ. We thank God for you. Now let me back up. Is there a slide on there of the van? There it is. Y'all, you can't hardly recognize that van, can you? See part of it? See back there in the top left-hand corner? Can you read that? Reaching us? What's the next one say? Reaching us, reaching out, reaching up, reaching out, reaching. You guys gave that van to us, and that's the result. See that tall, curly-headed guy, Manny? Man, he gets with it. He gets with it. He's a magnet for the Lord. That's why you see all those kids. He's driving that van and hauling all those hammerheads. And that's the joy that you guys give. That's why I think of the Polo Church of Christ. Day and night, you're in my prayers. And we call to mind your work of faith. By the way, that stuff works. Just won't. Call to mind. Three things. Number one, what's the first one? All right, go back to the verse. Your work of faith. You see that one? Your labor of love. Your patience of what? Hope. But notice the next line. In following our Master Jesus Christ before God our Father, it is clear to us, friends, that God not only loves you very much, but also has put his hand on you for something special. Man, I love that. When the message we preached came to you, it wasn't just words. Something happened in you. The Holy Spirit put steel in your convictions. You paid careful attention to the way we lived among you and determined to live that way yourselves. In imitating. Say imitating. Now, wait a minute. Imitating. Now, notice the imitating on that scripture right there. In imitating us, you imitated who? The Master. Manny leads a song about imitating Jesus, how he walked like this, and now he's with Jesus, and now he walks like this. Imitating the Master. I officiate a funeral for a lady. She has two daughters and a son. So every time that I have a funeral, I follow up with the family because somebody in that family is not with the Lord. That gives me great opportunities. Great opportunities because I want to get in that door, already in that door, because God opened that door. So I show up and I'm studying with one of the daughters. Later on, her husband's in bad shape. She calls me, said, "Ron, I'm at the hospital. David's in the hospital. He's about to end his life. His life is about over." Before that happens, I go over to our apartment and read the Word every week. There's something that I notice. I said, where's David? He locks himself in the bathroom. I've never had anybody, and I show up for a Bible study, and they lock themselves in the bathroom. But then she told me the rest of the story. Every time I go to that apartment complex, I notice people are looking at me strangely. I'm used to that. But on this occasion, why is that happening? Why is a white-headed old man hanging out in our neighborhood? And they watch every step that I take and the apartment that I go to. This gal calls me recently, 2 weeks ago. She said, "Ron, I've been clean for 4 months. I've been a drug addict for 31 years. 31 years. And I said, "What did that cost you per day?" She said, $120 to $150 a day. Guess what my next question is? How do you supply the money to buy the drugs? What was her answer? She said, "You don't want to know." And then she told me. That's why people were looking at me. Because they'd see this man coming, and so they go to her apartment. Her apartment door is a revolving door for men. And every time I said, "What does your husband do?" He goes in the bathroom and locks his door. Locks the door. He thought, "I'm coming over for the same reason." So he goes in there and locks his door. Can you imagine that marriage? What kind of marriage was that? No way there's a marriage going on in that family because it's all about her. But the good news is she told me she's clean. And now they're going to hire her as a staff member. Excuse me, I'm having all this fun stuff going on. But they hire her as a staff member. He said, "Man, I'm doing great. Because I finally got with God all those years." And she wanted to thank me for showing up, just reading the Word, and never what? Never what? Hear the word imitate? Because all the time, I'm imitating. I didn't know it. Because I'm living the life of Christ, and I'm going to continue living the life of Christ. I'll never forget the time she came to our building. She walked in the door and she starts parading around. I mean, dancing around. Said, "Man, how do I look, Ron? How do I look?" And I said, "What are you about?" I didn't say anything. I just thought something suspicious. Just like every time I'd go to that apartment complex and something suspicious was going on. But God allowed me to imitate who? The message of Christ. although great trouble accompanied the word, you were able to take great great joy from the Holy Spirit, taking the trouble with the joy with the trouble. Do you know that all over the provinces of both Macedonia and Achaia, believers looked up to you? Let me read that again. Do you know that all over LaFleur County, people look up to you? They look up to this location. I've got a motto at our building there at Contact, and anybody drives by, walks by, that every time they can say, you can go there and get help. We concluded during the school year, we have a Bible Buddies, a reading program to teach kids how to read. 40% increase. 70% increase, one little girl, because kids in Tulsa can't read. Probably not the case here in LaFleur County. But be one-on-one with that child, and they read, teach them how to read, and the joy. A lady came to services. She said, I had to find out what's going on here at this place. My kids, they won't go to church anywhere else. Said, why are you showing up here? Because they are involved with Bible Buddies, and they're teaching them how to read. And she said, I just want to thank you, because my kids won't go to church anywhere else. You hear that? Imitating? Imitating the message? The world has gotten around. Here's our second word. Your lives are echoing. Say echo. Echoing the Master's word. We got first word, imitate. And now we've got echo. When my family and I lived in St. Louis, Missouri, there's a fancy hotel that has an arch built inside that hotel. So picture with me. From this corner, we're going to build an arch all the way to that street right out here. I can stand at this corner right here. Somebody can be standing at the base of that arch over there by the street. And I say, man, I don't like your green shoes. They look around. Where'd that come from? I don't like your purple shirt. And they look around. They just look around. What are you staring at? And I'm smart aleck enough. So that's all I do, just smart out in those people. And I love it when people over there, they're wearing something. I don't care what it is. I'm going to make fun of them. And what do? You hear the echo? You and I get to echo the message of Christ. We get to imitate the message of Christ. We're driving a great van that's echoing, and it still says Porto Church of Christ. Guess what the name of the van is? Porto. Why change it? Somebody asked me, said, hey, baby, when are you going to take that off? I don't know. Give me $5,000 and I'll take it off. So they walk off. Echo, imitate the message of Christ. The news of your faith in God is out. We don't even have to say anything anymore. You're the message. People come up and tell us how you received us with open arms, how you deserted the dead idols of your own life so you could embrace and serve God. They marvel how expectantly you await the arrival of His Son, whom He raised from the dead. Jesus, and here's our third word. Jesus who, what's the third word? Rescued. Imitate, echo, and rescue. They have been rescued by the blood of the Lamb. Do you remember the day that you was baptized into Christ? You may not remember who baptized you, but you probably will. You will always remember the day you was baptized into Christ, when you was rescued by the blood of the Lamb, and how you get to imitate. Today I just want to thank you, Poto family, for imitating and echoing and continue rescuing others, because we get to rescue folks every week. And we get to teach people every week. Recently, they started a Athletes for Christ at Webster High School. Webster High School is a nasty high school. The attendance, they hope to get attendance up to 40% on one day. You hear that? 40%. The basketball coach has to pick up the kids to bring them to practice. And when he brings them to practice, they're hungry. Or they practice a couple of hours, and then he takes them home. Guess what? They're hungry again. They won't have practice unless he goes and picks them up. Because nobody's going to wake them up. Nobody at home cares. They're on their own to try to make it for basketball practice. So what happens during the school year? To come to school. We show up every Wednesday morning, and we call it Warriors for Christ. So the how that got started, I go to Mazio's, and a principal at the high school sees me, and she called me Rev. She said, "Hey, Rev, I want you to come and do that program that you do, that she's doing over at the elementary school. I want you to come to high school and do it." So I asked her, I said, "What for?" "Yeah, this is when you can come and see me, Monday or Tuesday." I said, "All right, I'll come see you." I showed up on Monday. She called the vice principal. Said, "Vice principal, I want you to meet Rev. Rev, this is vice principal. Whatever he needs, if he needs posters, show him where he's going to meet. He's going to start Warriors for Christ. Whatever he needs, you provide it for him. Got it? Got it." That's 12 years ago. We'll average 40 to 60 kids every Wednesday morning. What's going on there? We get to echo. Remember the lady that we met at Cracker Barrel? Imitating, echoing, and knowing, hey, there's rescue coming. My neighbor came over last night. Said, "Ron, I just met one of your people." I said, "What are you talking about?" Said, "I go to..." Forgot where he went, dollar store or somewhere like that. And I'm visiting with this gal, and he asked her if she went to church. She said, "Nah, I don't go much." I said, "Was you hurt?" "Yeah." Was you hurt by people?" "Yeah." "Was you hurt by God?" "No, I've never been hurt by God." He said, "Where did you go?" She told him the name. He came over to the house and showed me the picture of that lady. And he said, wave to him. And so what does he remind me? "You better go get her." Well, that was encouraging because she hasn't forgotten. She hadn't forgotten. You may know somebody in LaFleur County that's not here today. They won't be here tomorrow. They won't be here next week. They won't be here Wednesday. You may not see them for a while. You know their phone number. You know how to encourage them. You can drop them a note. You can drop them a text. How about showing up at their place? There used to be a car dealership here on the main strip. And I'm going after this clown who never came to services. He would come and show up every time his mom would come, and because he'd bring his mom, she lived in Texas, and he'd bring her to services. I show up, and I'm walking in this car dealership. Like, here's the front door. Back there is where all the people are sitting, and they're talking about all how to get everything fixed in our country. He sees me coming. He meets me halfway. Puts his arm around me. Reaches in his pocket. Puts a fallen $100 bill in my pocket. And this is what he said: "That'll keep you from bothering, so you can leave me alone." You know what I told him? "You're going to have to put more money in my pocket for me to ever leave you alone." So I gave him a week. Took a week off. I go to his office. And the first thing he says, and I walk in his office, he said, "How did you get in here?" We because there was three ladies at the front desk. And I was supposed to check in with them, but I don't know the rules. And I go walking down the hallway, and I'm looking for the shingle on that door, and that's where I'm. And so I find his shingle, and I go walking, and that's when he said, "How'd you get in here?" Show up. Keep imitating. Keep echoing. Because you've been rescued. If you haven't been rescued by the blood of the Lamb, don't ever forget it. That God paid the price we could not pay. He paid a debt I needed to pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, "Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound," of a wretch like me. I've been saved. I'm going to sing a song. I'm going to sing one line, and then I want you to sing with me. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They took a little time and prayed for me. Got down on their knees. I'm so glad they prayed. I'm so glad they prayed for me. All right, now you sing with me. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. Prayed for me. My shepherds prayed for me. Somebody prayed for me. Grab a hand or a shoulder. Father, thank you for never quitting on us. Thank you for reminding us to be an echo, to imitate, because you rescued us a long time ago. Thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary. Thank you for this patient family. And God, thank you for redeeming us every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing.